Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
That's, isn't that for like little girls?
Exactly. I'm a little girl.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to another Latino Guira podcast and the Latino Guira podcast. Christian Hennismayer. And today I am with Paul Favar because... Not even close. Farvar.
Yeah, there you go.
Farvar.
At least try.
It's F-A-B-A, so... No, F-A-R-A, so it's Farah.
Yeah. It's like Farvar. You could say it that way, too.
So it's for me, it's Farvar.
Right. I accept your apology.
Farvar.
You have an accent, so you can get away with it.
I can get away with it. But he's basically a Chicago legend. He's one of the few comics that I know that have a wiki page.
Oh, yeah.
There are not many comics in Chicago that they can say they have a wiki page. And you have a wiki page.
Yeah, I do.
You forgot about that. You have been doing stand-up for a long time in Chicago. So I believe one of my first questions is, like, how do you feel like it has changed over the years? I believe COVID apparently really changed the scene. But... you will know better because I started in 2020. Mm-hmm. I did like a couple of mics before pandemic. Then I just went back to it after pandemic. So I didn't actually knew what was happening before.
Before that, yeah. I mean, it's gone through a lot of changes, the scene. I think the biggest thing is now there's so much more spaces to do comedy. When I first started, there was maybe one open mic a night. And if you tried to start a second open mic on the same night, it was offensive to people. Because
and after COVID, people were like, we're going to be offensive. We don't fucking get it.
Yeah, because we all went to the same locations. And it was a scene. So, you know, each open mic was a show. Because there wasn't... Laugh Factory had just opened. And they weren't doing shows every night. There was Lincoln Lodge only had shows Friday, Saturday. That was the original location. I mean, this is 13 years ago. And then there was Zany's and Comedians You Should Know. That's it. There was no real other shows. I mean, there was a few other ones. Chuck was around too.
Do you like the change? One of the bars that I miss is Norbar.
Norbar was great too.
A lot of people talk shit about that place, but that place was... So it felt like a family place for comedy.
So North Bar was a client of ours. I used to manage bands and play in bands, and we used to do live music there. So I knew him for a while, and I remember when he was telling me that he loves comedy. I'm like, oh, you should do comedy here. I mean, it wasn't my idea, but he was always wanted to make it a comedy place because it was a music venue. And, yeah, I mean, that was a great room.
It was a great
always
room.
Always fun.
Oh. Not always. I saw a lot of people bomb there and yeah. A lot of weird shit. But it's so much there's a spaces when you do comedy for comics and it's annoying because everybody what you can clearly see that what they want is to go on stage, do their time and leave.
Yeah.
Normal was a place that they go on stage, they do their time and they stay because the vibe was like, oh, let's hang out here.
Yeah, it's a hang. Sure. I mean, that's a big part of it. I think that's a lot of comedy is the hang out with comedians. But to some extent, you know, some comedians get locked into doing comedy for other comedians, and that's not good either.
No.
So you gotta remember that, you know, you're not doing sets for the back of the room. You're doing it for the people that paid to see you. So.
But usually, like, I believe I'm getting to that spot in comedy in this year, and it feels so good that I'm getting longer sets, better shows, outside shows. Like, I'm going to get, hey, August, if you're in Missouri watching another Latino with a podcast, thank you, how? But thank you so much. But I'm going to be in Missouri in August for a headlining show, so that's
great.
But I'm going to get into the topic because I would bring things to talk about. Do you have kids?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Like,
I don't answer my phone.
According to my count, no.
I don't. On Father's Day, I turn off my phone just in case. Yeah. No, I don't have any. No.
But like, I saw something. I also don't have kids, but I was looking through Reddit. I always look like in topics in Reddit, Ingrid Nagat. But there's one that is called the parents. Tell me the creepiest things that your kids has told you, and there's many, but my favorite ones. One It's like the dad's like, hey, son, well, have a good night. He's like, goodbye, dad. He's like, no, we say good night. Yeah, I know, but today is goodbye.
Oh, wow.
And the dad's like, what the fuck is happening?
That's scary.
What info does this motherfucker have?
Yeah, I would be afraid of my kids killing me for sure. I just feel like, because I think, that's what I would be afraid of. One of many reasons why I don't want kids.
There's that. Other, the woman was like with her daughter. She like he was making some braids, and the daughter kept laughing and looking behind her that it was the closet, and at the beginning she's like, oh, maybe making the braids just tickled her out of. But at some point, like mom was like, hey, what the fuck is going on? Like, why are you laughing? Oh, is the guy with the snake? With the snake neck, and the mom is like, "I'm moving. I don't want to." So
that's creepy.
Have you have any kid tell you anything like weird as fuck?
No, I think that kids are the most honest. They'll always be super honest to you. They're always mean, but they don't mean to be. I think like they'll just be like, "How come your hair is gray?" You know, like they'll say shit like that, and then you're like, that's fucking mean, you know? Are you allowed to swear on this?
I don't know. No, dude, I swear I'm racist and homophobic.
Oh, I'm not going to say anything.
I don't care. Like, YouTube can shadow ban me because this is one thing. Like, every time I record, like, I don't want anybody to come here and feel like, oh, I could not. I have to restrain who I am because of the media. Like, if YouTube can shadow ban me, I don't care.
I'll say what I want, though. No, but I think kids are mean. Like, they'll say, you know, why are you, you know, they'll look at my niece, I have nieces and nephews, and when my niece was young, I was eating a cookie once, and she just was like, you sure you should eat that? I was like, what do you mean? And then she just pointed to my stomach. It's like the most mean thing you could possibly do, but it's also, they don't know, they're just being honest.
I believe they do know.
Did it purposely?
They're like, so. You're fat as fuck. Yeah. And you're like, you are five. Shut the fuck up. Like,
well, it depends how old they are. But yeah, I think young kids just say what's their honest, their truth.
I have this with kids. Like, once, like, I have also niece. Like, I remember I went to my sister's room looking for something. And she was, like, in the crib. She was, like, three. She was, like, dead sleep. Like, dead sleep that I saw her. I was like, oh, she. You know when you're like, she's so cute, sleeping. Dead sleep. So I went and I was like, I don't want to wake her up. And when I was turning to leave, she was like sat down looking at me like.
Yeah, creepy.
And I was like, I'm going to kill you. Like, don't do this shit.
Kids are scary.
Like, I have a friend that she has a daughter. And recently through the camera, the eyes of her daughter were like glaring. So it's like the baby just with the like white eyes. And it's like. You should like sacrifice that. that's not good.
It's creepy shit, yeah.
But this connects with the other, like, I've been seeing like a lot of people that have schizophrenia that there's some similarities on what they say or what they see. And whenever I'm bored, I think about stupid shit or maybe more super intelligent shit. So what if people with schizophrenia are actually the people who are experiencing the world as it is,
and
we're all wrong.
It's possible
because you know, like we experience the world through our senses. Like we know that birds, like they see a lot more colors. Sure. Than us. So there are a lot more happening that we don't see.
Sure.
So what if schizophrenic people are actually watching what is real, and we are like, no, you are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. There's a lot of, they say ignorance is bliss. Sometimes you're better off not knowing anything, but the people that are the smartest or animals that are the smartest experience everything way more. So maybe that's good, or maybe it's bad that we don't know. Maybe it's good that we don't know.
Just talked about that in the last episode about ignorance is bliss. Like,
100% I agree.
Do you want to be a little dumb in order to?
I wish I was dumber. It's hard being the smartest person in the room every time.
Like now. I was like,
incredibly difficult because I'm a very smart person, and so it's hard to be smart. I'd rather be dumb, especially now. Like, you see what's going on in the news, and people will say something, and you're like, oh, that's not even. You
know what the fuck you're talking
about. I mean, I'm not smart on everything, but I know a lot about, like, I don't know anything about cars. I mean, I know a lot about cars, but I couldn't fix a car. But I know a lot about, like,
Like
law and like politics, and I don't know, science or math or geography. I get lost everywhere.
When was the last time that you really felt that shit of like, oh, these people are so fucking stupid?
Last night.
Elaborate.
Yeah. Last night. Every, you know, when I do shows in towns, I always do a couple of jokes up top. I have the same few testers to see how smart they are and how, or how awake they are.
You and start if, like with this random quest.
Yeah. Like there's certain jokes I do. And if they, depending on how quick they laugh or if they laugh at all, I'm like, okay, these people are fucking idiots. Like,
what is the joke? Let me see.
I've got a couple. I got a joke. I do. About one thing I've been doing lately, one of them I do lately is I say, you know, my doctor retired. I got to get a new doctor. I didn't like him. He made me feel bad. You know, he'd say, you need to take better care of yourself. You're getting fat or you're a constant disappointment to me and your mom.
So your doctor is your niece?
Yeah. So then if they don't get it right away or if they wait, then I know they're drunk or they're whatever. And then there's other jokes I'll do. You know, just think or things to think about. And if they don't get it, then you're like, all right, this is going to be a slow show. Or, you know, it's like comedy. You choose your own adventure. You're like, all right, these are the jokes I'll do for these guys. So,
okay, you that are a lot more experienced than me. Someone told me this, and I want to see your perspective. Mm-hmm. If you're going to a show and you're like, I'm going to say these jokes, and then you are in the show, and you see, like, maybe people are not as fast or whatever, or they're more into sexual jokes. Do you change your set or you're like, no, I came with this and this is what I said I was going to do, so I'm going to stick with it?
Most of the time, it depends. But most of the time, if it's a show that people pay to see, then I'm going to change it to fit the bill. But if it's a show where I'm trying new stuff, I'm preparing for like a special or something like that, I'm going to stick with what I wanted to work on. But if it's a weekend I'm headlining, let's say, and they like certain things, I'm going to make sure that they had a good time.
Because like my friend who's experienced comedy also, he's like, always go with what you was going to say, because at the moment you start changing shit, that's the moment that usually comics go like, oh, what else I was gonna say? Oh yeah, and like that, like just lose the audience. Like I think if you
it depends on the person. For me, I've got over, you know, I've got hours of comedy that I can choose from, so I know what I can do, and I know if I do a joke and it's, you know, I'll do jokes about being Middle Eastern and they're really liking it, then I'm like, okay, I'll do more of that. I'll still do what I wanted to do, but I'll give them what they want. Yeah, I mean, it's my job to make them laugh. It's not going to screw me up. I don't go on stage with an outline unless I'm doing like an hour. Then, you know, there's certain things I have to do before or after, yeah. You know, certain jokes I have to set up or callbacks, whatever. But no, I'm going to make sure that they're having a good time.
What's the longest you have done?
I've done, I did an hour and a half a couple times, I think. But I mean, anything over an hour is just, that's just mean.
for the crowd.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm more if you're headlining after like five comics before you, people.
Oh, no. That's sometimes you'll get booked to do a show. They're like, why don't you do an hour and a half? I'm like, no, you don't. Nobody, you're going to have a host doing 10 and I'm going to do an hour. That's it. You don't need it.
Yeah. You know, for me, perfect timing for a show is 90 minutes, including the 5-minute warning and that's it. That's the show. Thank you so much for coming.
75 to 90 minutes. And 75 minutes of comedy is the ideal number. And that's been proven for years. You know, you can't keep people. You can't give people a 2-hour show of comedy. It's tired. You're sitting for 2 hours. You can't do that. Especially now.
I'm going to say this, like, this goes against one of the person that I have on the podcast. And I recently did her show, Susana Rodriguez. She's amazing. She has this show called Chicago Line.
The show's great.
That I love. Yeah, the show is amazing. But the show has an intermission, and I don't know why. This is, in my opinion.
Oh, I hate intermission.
I hate when comedy shows have intermission, because, like, you're resetting the room. Is the last comedy amazing? You're just like taking that energy and I'm like, okay, go use it somewhere else and then come call again.
Yeah, I do. When I have a show, there was a venue that always did intermission, and in my contract, I'd be like, we're not doing intermission. And they get mad because that's where they make their money. That's where people go and buy drinks and stuff. But I hate the intermission. I don't like it. I just did a show where they did an intermission. They did an intermission last Friday at a Don't Tell show.
And you're like, these people are so dumb.
Oh, it's so annoying. But you know what? It worked. It didn't matter. Sometimes it's beneficial. You know, you got to go roll with the punches. Unless you're like, I mean, it's hard because they just set you set yeah, you're you resetting reset, the room. Yeah. You have to have a good host, and we did. We had a great host.
To I can imagine you being like, oh, we're gonna go to an intermission, and you're like, oh my god, it's so hard to be the so smartest yeah, person yeah. in the room. Yeah, yeah. Why do I have to suffer?
I'm always the fucking smart. It sucks. Well, it's hard for me too because I produce shows and I produced music shows before I did comedy. So like, it's hard for me to bite my lip when people are doing something. You're like, why are you doing this? This is stupid. Or like. Back in the day, at my home Laugh Factory was my home club. I would see like the lineup, and then that we comedians would help the managers and be like, maybe you should put this person next. It doesn't look, you know. But now, obviously, they got it figured out. But back in the day, like comedians would kind of like take over and be like, no, put this person up now, or you're gonna lose the room. Especially like if two people did bad, one person has high energy. I'm a low energy comic. It's like, okay, you need to have a host to reset the room for me.
Okay, before the pause, what do you think about this? Because since you are more experienced, you are a producer. Do you believe in the theory that the first and the last comic, according to the booker, the producer, are the best in the lineup?
Yeah,
because. Behind this is like if you are a comic and they put you last or first, it's
on a showcase show. You mean?
Yeah, usually yeah. It's because the booker trusts you.
Yeah,
they trust you to start good the show or to end good the show.
I agree with that. Unless you have a very good host, I always have when I book a show. I always have if there's four or five comics, you put the second best comic or the best comic first after the host and then the last comic.
Yeah, so it will like
always. Yeah.
So because I have people like, oh my god, I hate going first. No. Like that means they fucking trust you.
Yeah, 100%.
Take this opportunity and fucking go kill.
They used to do back in the day at Laugh Factory. It was only now. There's like they're moving back to that lineup where it's long. 15-minute sets. Nice. There would be five comics doing 15-minute sets or what, and a host. And then the guest spot would go right before, right after the host.
Okay.
And the guest spot is someone that's trying out for the club.
Yeah,
so what, it was just a horrible thing. So then we sometimes be like, let's put someone else there. Or they have a great host.
For me, a guest spot have to be like in the middle. Just like first comic and then maybe second comic, guest spot. And then you keep going with the show.
It depends on the shows. But generally speaking, you know, if you talk to like the pro people who've been booking shows for a while, you have the best on a showcase show, have someone solid. Because you want to establish credibility with the crowd. Because if two people don't do well in a row, you've lost. I've seen people walk out. I did a show recently where people were walking out after two people bombed.
Yeah, these people are so.
And you're like, just wait. There's three amazing comics coming up
next.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna do a little pause, but we're gonna come back immediately. And we are back. We were the smartest person in the room when we went to the South. Yeah, we.
No, it's just one. Just you. Only one. There's only one smartest person. You can't have two.
Have you ever had I fight with someone that is like, this person thinks that they're the smartest person in the room, but it's me.
It's always me. It's 90% of the time it's me.
Have any time being like, this guy is the smartest.
You know, it depends. Yeah.
Stephen Hawking, and you're like, okay, maybe.
There's certain times, but like generally speaking, I mean, there's certain if people are talking about something I don't know about, like if people are talking about movies or like Marvel, I don't know anything about Marvel. Then I'm definitely the stupidest person. Or like geography, I get lost all the time. I'm so bad at geography. If I point to Chicago on a map, that's the only thing I can do. But like I have a show after this, I have to like Google it three times to remember where it is.
What did you do for you? You printed your MapQuest.
Yeah. I used to print stuff, but then like when I put it in my phone and I have the thing, I blow it in so I could see which way I'm going. And then sometimes I'll freak out. I was driving from Nashville. I'm like, am I going the right way? Wait, east or where is it? I never know where I am.
I love all the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
That the Larry David is just like annoyed at GPS.
Yeah.
Like that series is amazing because you can like it's been for so long that you can see all the changes in technology.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The first episode, he's just like printed a MapQuest, and it's like, no, I bought a GPS, but the GPS is not functioning, and he just got lost, and he's just super angry at the GPS. It's like, this fucking shit.
I'm of the age where we used to print shit out too. Like I used to print it out all the time when I go to shows.
I believe that the people who did the printing, that they lost so much money when GPS came out. Yeah. They're like, fuck!
Sure.
Who's going to print their map quest here?
Yeah, I used to have to print everything up because I can read on the phone. I still can sometimes. But.
Okay, I actually talking about smart things and stupid things, I believe like generationally we're downgrading and we're becoming stupid. And one of the things that I found, I was like, this is stupid as fuck. And there are many, but we're going to stop. Have you heard about love bombing?
Love bumping?
Bombing. Like bombing.
Oh, love bombing. Yeah. I've heard of that.
A stupid concept. Basically is that it's something bad that doesn't make sense. That like a woman, if they're starting a relationship, the guy is super like, bring her presents and just wants
bombing
to
bombing her with love like, and attention.
Bombing her with love and attention. And that's bad.
It's stupid because like, what's the goal? Like, how long is that going to last? And if your goal is just to do that to get laid, then, I mean, you're just a horrible person.
Yeah, no, you are a horrible person. But the thing is, like, why are we putting this fucking name? There's this one that is this ghosting, but there's one that is called orbiting.
Orbiting?
Yeah.
What's orbiting?
That they ghost you, but they keep liking your
shit on
social media. So it's like...
All your stories.
Yeah, but they don't talk to you. They just like interact with your social media.
Yeah.
But you message them, no response. It's like, what's the
point?
These words?
I don't get it. So, yeah. I probably do that. You always check up on people you dated or you went on a date with, especially like just to be like, oh, what's interesting. But yeah, I don't talk to
them. Are you orbiting?
I think I'm an orbiter.
Some of your exes.
I'm like one of the planets, yeah.
But you like stories?
I like stuff, yeah. I think I do, but I don't... if I watch a story, I always
She got in a car crash.
Yeah. Like, oh, I hope you're okay. Or like someone dies, you like put the...
sad face.
Yeah. Okay, I'm always afraid that you accidentally say like laughing when someone says, you know, I lost my uncle yesterday. Then you
LOL.
Yeah, because I have shitty eyes too, so I'll be like, did I say LOL? Yeah, like if I put the... smiling face. I'm like, wait, it should be the sad one.
Well, and you know, between there's cultural differences on the emojis. Like, you know, the smiley face that is just the face, like, smiling, like that. At least in Venezuela, that's like super passive aggressive.
Yeah,
it's like I hope you die.
Oh yeah.
And here it's like, no, that's okay. So people sending me that shit, I was like, well, what the fuck is your fucking problem? You want to fucking fight? And they're like, no, I hope you have a good show. And it was the smiley face, and like.
And Venezuela has to screw everything up. Yeah, they always screwing shit up.
Latin America. It's not just Venezuela. Okay. And
Paraguay.
We don't talk about Paraguay. No, no one cares about Paraguay.
That's Central America.
I don't even know where it is.
Yeah, like, geography again.
I used to work I collaborate sometimes. It's basically The Onion, but in Venezuela. It's called El Chihuahua Bipolar. And
is that onion? Translates to onion?
No. Chihuahua is like a capybara.
What's onion in?
Onion is cebolla.
Cebolla, yeah, that's right.
But there's so few shit about Paraguay that we made, like when the migrants were going everywhere, all the Venezuelans, we make a post that is like I'm going to Paraguay, said not Venezuelan ever. And then a community of Venezuelans in Paraguay. We're like, hey, we are here, we exist. It's like you're like 30 people. Facebook group was like 30 people. Like, shut the fuck up. Like there's like thousands in Colombia. There's like millions in Colombia.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but us 30, we do exist. So it's like
barely.
It was the same energy of like we're vegan and we eat meat. We exist. It's like what? No. You're not making sense. But what do you think about all these new phrases that now we're saying, like love bombing, orbiting, ghosting? I don't know, but there's many. I feel like we're taking feelings and turning it into, first, everything is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And second, everything is like a phrase and that's it. It's not like, oh, he's trying to...
Thirst trapping. You know, it's good. I think it's good for people. If anything that shortens the communication, that makes things more concise, I'm all for. You know, if you don't have to explain something.
I'm a little against, but keep going.
I don't like to listen to long stories. So if someone's trying to explain to me what love bombing is, like, oh, he just kept messaging me. I'd rather just be a word for it. But like, he love bombed me. It's like, dude, we're done talking about it.
Okay.
It's quick. Just like comedy. You cut the fat. You just get to the point. I'm a very concise. You have to be concise. Get the light after.
Too. I agree. I agree with what you said because yes, and I really love when we have SMS and the SMS has like 130 characters, and
yeah.
You went above. It was a second message, and they charge you twice.
Right. Or Twitter was back in the day. You had limited amount of time.
Yeah. So you have to actually put your fucking concise idea in
100%.
I really enjoy that, but I do believe we're losing the language so fast, and one of the proof of that is that if you hear like whatever teenager talking, the amount of time they use like
yeah, that's always,
you know,
been.
That's like, you know, like, but they cannot speak without saying it.
That, I mean, that was when I was a kid, that was like that too.
But with what? For not with like?
No, it was like they it would say like all the time. Yeah, in fact, when I did speech communications in college, they videotaped us talking. And then you'd see yourself say, then you'd be like, oh, I am saying it a lot. And then when you as a comedian, you listen to yourself, you're like, oh, you just say it without even noticing it. But yeah, I mean, as you grow older, you get rid of the likes, unless you don't get smart.
That's not your case because you're always...
Not with me, because I got smart. I'm always getting smarter, yeah.
But I do believe we're losing a lot of the language. I read Agatha Christie, Agatha Christie book, and...
You read Agatha Christie?
Yeah.
Isn't that for like little girls?
Exactly. I'm a little girl.
Okay. That's how you learn English.
Are you assuming my gender and
is
my
age?
Is
that how you learn English? How did you learn English? From those books?
Or? No, from Minnesota. I'm from Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Venezuela. But I learned like, I have like classes after school. Like, I really hated it, but I'm
sorry.
Agatha
Christie?
Agatha Christie was really good. It's not for little girls. It's like the
mid-teenage girls.
No, she's like the most famous mystery...
No, I know who she is.
...writer.
Yeah, it was
ever.
Like V.C. Andrews was popular with women in like eighth grade and stuff like that.
Teens. I didn't know it was for young teens.
I think so.
But it's really good.
I could be wrong.
But she have like... Obviously, these are all shit. So all the words were like... Most of them were like complicated for me. That like I'm not native.
Yeah, it's a second language.
But then I share some of these words with some people, and not also then were like I first time I hear that shit.
Yeah.
For example, there's like that there's Barry, that is like someone who is like kind of dumb. There's one that I really love, and I make a list. Of
the words you learn. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
but
how
I,
you
I
get
don't,
smarter.
I don't know if I hear. Okay.
Chagrin.
Amazing word. And this Eddie.
Much to my chagrin.
Yeah, that is like feel like little ashamed.
Yeah. Like surprise, yeah.
Eddie, the E-D-D-Y.
Eddie.
Is
what's that?
Is when water or air or smoke flows in a circular motion.
When are you going to use that in a conversation?
I don't know, but I love to have it. Like I just love to.
Chagrin's a good word, but
no,
Eddie
it's
is
my favorite. Acquiesce.
Acquiesce, yeah.
That's my favorite because acquiesce is to accept something regardless, like you don't want.
Regardless, yeah.
That you're like.
We acquiesce. It's like surrendering.
Yeah, it's like surrendering, but you go.
Acquiesce.
Yeah, you go to whatever party, whatever show, and you have to acquiesce that you're the smartest person in the room. You're like,
yeah, I've accepted.
Yeah, I have
acquiesced to the fact.
Okay,
that I'm the smartest person in the room.
Barmy is the word. Barmy, that is someone that is extremely foolish. Or
Barmy?
Barmy. B like B A R M Y.
I never heard that word either.
You see, like, it's something that is extremely foolish. Like, oh.
Maybe she's just making shit up.
I got the crazy, like, I'm gonna
fuck with these teenage girls.
I'm for bear. No, but this is F-O-R-B-E-A-R.
Oh, for bear, yeah. B-E-A-R.
Yeah, B-E-A-R, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is, because it's, there's for bear, like, F-O-R-E. But this is F-O-R, no, there's F-O-R-E-B-E-A-R, but this is F-O-R, So
bear. Oh, there's two different words?
Yeah, because one is like for scene, like it is like for bear something.
Bear, yeah.
But this is like also an amazing word. It's like to contain the impulse to be rude.
I didn't know that.
For being polite.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and when they use it, it's because this character goes to this house and he's staying in this house. It's the only place that he can stay in. It's a fucking shitty town. So this is the only place he can stay. The house is a fucking mess.
Yeah.
And the owner, the host, she's like, oh, how do you find the house? And he's like, I have to forbear to tell her.
How bad it is.
This
yeah.
is a fucking shit. So I believe it's a nice phrase to use. It's like, no, I will forbear.
But see, we're saying the same. That's different because you're using better words.
That are lost.
But forbear, like the ability to say acquiesce or stuff like that, if you can do that in less words, acquiesce is a better word than saying three words. So you're making things shorter. So that's a good thing.
But in comedy, if you are like, so I acquiesce to that, people are like, I don't know what you're saying.
No, people will know acquiesce. They'll know it.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. So, well, the shows I do. I'm a smart crowd. I have smart crowds.
Where's the smartest crowds in Chicago?
That's hard. I don't know. It depends on the night. I think it depends on the show, too. You know, Minneapolis is a very smart crowd. Okay. They're one of my favorite crowds in the country.
I never done a show in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you say you're from Minnesota.
I'm from Minnesota, which I don't know. That's what I say to us.
Minneapolis they're one of the smartest crowds. Ann Arbor, Michigan was one of my favorites. Ann Arbor Comedy Club is one of the best comedy clubs in the country.
I did Don't Tell in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, yeah.
Ann Arbor is an amazing
smart crowds. I hate the school. Michigan sucks because I went to Illinois. But other than that, those are. I mean, there's smart cities everywhere. I think the closer you are to a college that's good. Boston. I was in Boston last month. Smart crowds. They're always the best for me. I love smart crowds because I have smart comedy.
And
you probably like bad, dumb crowds.
Yeah, no, I like when they're dumb as fuck.
Like, who read Agatha Christie here?
No, I like when they're like, is he speaking English? Like, what is this?
Yeah, there's, I think I like educated crowds. That's just me. But I, you know, obviously I love all, you know, I'm doing a show tonight. The crowd's going to be a blue collar, rural town, smaller town. So there's not going to be like a lot of, you know, PhDs, but they're also fun because they're out to have a good time. There's nothing else going on a night like this. So
okay. To end the episode, when so far, because obviously you have more of this, so far one night or one show that you're like, so far this has been the best show I ever had, and I would love to have one experience like this.
Oh man, I mean, one of them was Ann Arbor. I was there last year. I didn't want to get off stage. I remember I got the light and I go, can I keep going? We don't have another show. It was that weekend was one of my favorite weekends. Both shows were amazing. Our three shows, I think we did. They were all amazing. So that's one. I was in Florida, in Sarasota, McCurdy's. You get the light, the times where you get the light and you're like, are you serious? Like I just started. It feels like those are always the best feelings. So there's a lot of those.
When you feel when you're like you're building, yeah. And you have it exactly at the point that okay, now I'm cooking and yeah. that light. You're like, no.
Yeah. I would Laughing Academy recently, that was last week, that was like that too. But they told me I could keep going and I ended up doing like an hour. I was supposed to do 45-55, but yeah.
That's amazing.
They
that's
were
amazing
fun.
That they allow you
to. Yeah, I was headlining.
They did that to me in Miami. I was doing a show. I was supposed to do 10 and end up doing 15.
Yeah.
Because they, like, the guy gave me the light, but I saw the producer, like, grab the hand of
yeah,
the
yeah.
I was like, no, let him keep going.
Yeah.
And that feels so good. Like,
they used to do that. They used to do that at Laugh Factory, too, when if you were one of the second, you just looked to the left. There were certain times you knew that the staff needed more time. So if you're doing 15 minutes, it'd come to the side. You see them going like stretch and you're like, yeah, it's fine. I'm ready.
I'll keep going. Like, these people are smart.
They trust you. It's cool. It's cool to have that trust at clubs where they'll let you go.
Okay. We're going to end this episode with one of the most trusted and smartest person in Chicago.
Not trusted, smartest.
But also trusted because they let you keep going for an hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
You're right.
But we're going to do the bonus content. I don't know about what, but I'll have topics here. So, adios. You got to say adios in Espanol.
Adios. I do it with an accent. That's a... Venezuelan.
Venezuelan accent. Adios.